Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
This is episode 357, Top of the Day to You Talks.
Top of the Day to You.
I never know which one I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Like your name or just Talks.
I know. And I never know what number you're going to say. So I always try to guess it in my head, and I never ever remember what you did the last
week. I always have to double check, always. At the moment, I'm kind of, like, I kind of know.
Yeah.
But I double check anyway, just in case.
Yeah, you don't want to, like, miss number. So embarrassing. So embarrassing. This is actually episode 1001.
That's right.
But we've been miscounting.
And I've been calling it 212. Oopsie-daisy, calamalazy. It's the spooky season for people who like to celebrate Halloween. So I thought, well, let's test your Halloween skills later with a quiz.
Okay.
Obviously, it's catered towards you and me and how much of a chicken, how much of chickens we are. We're just a couple of chooks.
I wear that with pride. I don't want to watch scary stuff. So tell me the story of something, of a movie.
You'll be all right with that.
I don't want to see it. I don't want to hear it.
The furthest you will go is you would watch a scary movie, but you would not watch the whatever film the scary movie is based on.
No.
Okay.
I've told you about when I went to see Scream, didn't I? Well, I think you were part of it. So I was underage and couldn't buy a ticket because I was underage. And so you bought me a ticket to go in, which I already felt really naughty about, but a little bit
I felt pretty naughty as well.
Yeah, because we don't like to do the wrong thing. Right. But I had to go because everybody was going, right? It started not even 30 seconds into the movie. I was like, why did I sneak into this movie? I hate it. I don't want to be.
Being naughty never pays.
Do you reckon I could leave and go meet up with Leah now?
No one will notice, right?
Oh, my God. I hated every minute.
The one that I remember we really, really, really struggled with was the Amityville Horror.
And
is that what it's called?
Yeah. Even driving there, I was like, are you sure?
We were brave. We were being brave. We thought we were being cool.
I was really pretending that I was brave.
I had convinced myself, but there were moments in it I was like, I'm just going to look down.
You watched less of it than I did.
Yes, it was a traumatic experience.
So my memory of that movie.
I was either looking at you or looking down on the ground.
My memory is the house, like the white house.
And there was like a boat shed.
I don't remember that.
Okay.
And our 2 feet, because I spent a lot of time just looking at our shoes.
So anyway, obviously we will be celebrating Halloween in a big way. We already will. We've already been doing that, guys.
Yeah.
Come on.
I think Simpsons Halloween is probably our stretch.
Yeah, that's about as far as you go. And even then, those episodes are a bit funny. As in, a bit icky.
Okay, so we will do How I Met Your Mother.
I'll do.
Isn't that how he met her?
I don't remember.
I remember something about a pumpkin.
I remember stuff like Home Improvement and Roseanne Halloween specials.
Yep.
Could cope with those.
Yep, I could cope with those.
Oh, but then I have gotten quite brave over the years and I've watched some scary things, but not horror. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I watch like murder mysteries.
And it's based in real life.
And remember there was a show. I'm going to get the name wrong now. It was English and it had
the guy from
Robson Green.
It's not who I thought you were going. I thought you were going to say David Tennant.
Yeah, that's who I was thinking first because I kind of are the same sort of feel about it. And it was called The Thin Green Line or The Thin Red Line.
Was it The Blue Line?
Blue Line or Blood Line or
I think it was Blue
like
Line
that.
And you and Mum were
obsessed by it.
But terrified both of you.
I could only watch it during the daytime.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was me with The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Only watching during the daytime. Yeah. Thanks. Only do that. I have been watching some things. So I'll say what I've watched and then not talk about, but I will talk about some other things.
Okay.
Because I want to kind of save it for later. You'll understand. But I want to get into this news.
Follow The Watchers on Twitter. At the Watchers Pod 1.
This is another thing that I remember we watched and thinking, it was quite brave of us to watch it. Do you remember the movie The Running Man?
Yeah.
Where it was basically like The Hunger Games kind of thing. But it was like criminals, and their way out of being a criminal was to win this Running Man competition where like baddies were, or like other running men were trying to kill each other.
I don't have a lot of memory of that.
It's like The Last Man Standing. It was Arnold Schwarzenegger, and he's wearing, I think, a yellow jumpsuit.
Okay.
That's probably the biggest thing I remember. But it was a book originally, Stephen King book.
Mm.
So understand why it was a bit scary.
Yeah.
Anyway, they're doing a remake of it for Paramount. I don't think it's Paramount Plus because I'm pretty sure it's a movie. Yeah, it's a film. And it's going to have Josh Brolin and some other people who I didn't know. I was like, oh, I don't know those names. I looked one of the guys up, Lee Pace, and I'm like, I don't recognize him.
Yeah.
But they're making another one and they're hoping for it to come out late next year, so late 2025. Okay. And I thought it was interesting that, you know, Stephen King wrote the book, then it was made into a 1987 film, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and then they're going to give it another go. And I think, by and large, that Arnold Schwarzenegger movie is probably one that people forget about, like you.
Yeah.
You forget about it, but you can off the top of your head, you can probably rattle off five.
Yeah.
Arnold Schwarzenegger movies in about 3 seconds.
Yes.
You know what I mean? But that one, no, even though I still remember, like personally, you and I watched it, not a lot, but a fair bit. We had it on video for a while. But I know that a lot of people are really into Stephen King books now. Like he's always been really popular, but there's sort of a craze. They call it, what's it called? Book talk. Like it's TikTok. Book reviews.
Yep.
And a lot of people are reading Stephen King books, going back and rereading them. So
I wonder if there's such a big collection.
Big collection. And, you know, they're really good stories. They're so good that they've been made into films that people will go back and read them. And there's obviously some good pacing in there.
Yeah.
I've only read one Stephen King book before, and it was The Stand, which was like 1,100 pages long.
Goodness.
It was recommended to me. It was kind of like apocalypse, end of the world stuff.
Yeah.
And the first like 300 pages was pretty good. Like that was all like that. It's just happened. Everybody's gotten the flu. These people are trying to get away from the cities or whatever. And that was really interesting. And then the rest of it, I actually had to put it away.
Yeah.
But I, in the back of my mind, I can't let a book go. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I need to finish it. And I eventually finished it on an aeroplane. I was like, well, I'm a captive audience now. I just sit and finish it. And I sat and finished it. I was like,
not worth it.
It was just really long.
Yeah.
But I know that other Stephen King books, like Misery is a Stephen King book. It, so many are famous and so popular. So the pacing must be good.
Mm.
So I wonder if The Running Man has that fast pace to it. I'm kind of interested in reading that one.
Why not?
More than The Stand. Like if you ask me to read The Stand, true, good point. The Walking Dead was, like we were talking about, I had to watch that during the day. I think I'd be okay now. I think I'm kind of desensitized to The Walking Dead a bit. But there's been a few spin-offs, and one of them was with Negan and Maggie, and they went to New York City in search of her son. Anyway, they have put out a quick, I think it's like 30-second teaser trailer for the second season.
Yeah.
And I think it was the that Gimbel guy, you know, the showrunner, he was talking about what we can expect from this season, the second season. So they're still in Manhattan, and he said that Negan is talking about power is power, as lights on New York landmarks light up again, which is pretty big, you know, if it's the end of the world and suddenly you've got a power grid back online. But I would imagine that New York City post-apocalypse with not only zombies walking around but also a lot of bad guys trying to make the most of the world, New York would be a pretty bad place to live.
Yeah.
You're in a lot of open spaces, I think.
Yeah.
In an apocalypse. Anyway, that's coming out soonish, I guess. I think here it would be on Stan. I think they've got all of the Walking Dead stuff at the moment. I've got one more story, just a quick one. So there was talk about Lord of the Rings, another film, Hunt for Gollum, and then Then there was a bit of confusion in the Lord of the Rings fandom whether there were two films, if this was going to be broken up into two films, or if it's just one, or are there two?
That's right. I remember you talking about that.
Yeah, it was a bit confusing. Anyway, I think we can blame Sir Ian McKellen for it.
Of course we can. He was top of my list.
Yeah, he was kind of, he kind of teased that it would be two films, this Hunt for Gollum. But no. The screenwriter,
he was trying to get paid twice.
I know, exactly right. Philippa Boyan, said that The Lord of the Rings, this one, Hunt for Gollum, is one movie. However, there is another live action Lord of the Rings movie that is in development.
Okay.
So there's not necessarily two films coming out, and it's definite, and they're definitely not both Gollum ones. So they're not going to crack that story in two like they like to do with The Hobbit. I think it was three films, though.
That was three.
That's why I'm on strike. I still haven't watched it.
I'm not doing
one book. One book when you read it when you're in year four or five.
Yeah.
And you can make it three books.
No.
Get out of town.
Unnecessary.
Take your films with
that's
you.
That's for Stephen King's 1,000 pages.
Yeah, that's right. I did that so that you wouldn't have to make 15 films out of it. You're welcome. Do you want to get into some watching suggestions?
Yes, I would. Thank you.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
I might as well continue to talk about things that are a little bit scary.
Go on.
I've been watching season three of From, which is on Stan. This was the show that it's a family. They've got their camper van. They were going on a holiday. Mm-hmm. And then they kind of break down in a very, very small village where everybody in the village kind of comes out and looks at them with this shocked, kind of scared look on their face.
Yeah.
And it's kind of getting dark, like that dusk kind of time.
Yeah.
And the sheriff of the town comes out with, you know, those old school bells?
Mm-hmm.
And he rings it and he's walking around. He's like, okay, it's coming up to dark, time to get inside. And they're like, what's going on? We're a little bit lost. Can you explain to us how we can get out? And they're like, oh, you can't. You're stuck here. Also, it's dark. You have to get inside. I'm like, why? Because there are weird people that walk around at night who will literally turn into monsters and eat you alive.
See, why don't people move away from these towns?
Because if you try and drive out of this town, you can be driving for several hours, go on all different side roads or the main road or whatever. Every road leads back to that town.
Right.
You're stuck.
You're stuck forever.
Yeah. And there was an interesting part in the end of season two and then the beginning of season three, where one of the characters does get out, seemingly.
Mm-hmm.
Then she ends up back in there again. So I'm hoping that it's not one of those shows that gets cancelled before it gives you any answers, because there are a lot of questions, right? What is this place? Who are these monsters? Why are they there? Are these people actually dead? Are they in hell?
Sounds
Have
like
they already
that
died?
M. Night Shyamalan one.
Yeah.
Village.
The village, that kind of thing. So I want to know, I want it so that it can wrap up and give us some stories.
Yeah, it doesn't have to go
it
for
doesn't,
12 years.
I don't need it to go for 12 years.
Yeah.
Maybe wrap it up season four. But I have been enjoying it. It's one of those ones, it's fine.
Have you had any answers along the way to anything? Just more questions.
Sort of, but more about how the world is working.
Okay.
But not why. Not why. But it's a once a week
kind
of thing.
How do they get food in?
Food. Okay, so the diner would just provide food. Water comes out of the taps. Electricity comes out of we don't know where, because one of the characters tried to figure out where the electricity cables go, and they lead to nowhere.
Weird.
And the food they were growing themselves.
Yeah.
But then all the crops have gone rotten. And one of the characters, she's pregnant and she cannot even deal with the sight of food.
Yeah.
But she's found the rotten food. And she's eating it.
Oh, she's going to turn into a monster.
I think she's going to turn into, or her baby's going to be a monster.
Yeah, baby's going to be a monster.
That's my guess. What have you been watching?
I'll go on the creepy side too.
It's Halloween. Yeah. Ooh, spooky.
Because my other one does not fit.
Okay, right.
I mean, we can get to that one later. I've been watching, probably along with everybody else in the world, but Monsters on Netflix.
Everybody's been talking about this.
Have you watched it?
No, because I knew that you would.
Okay. So it is an anthology series about the Menendez brothers. So true story. Mm-hmm. However, this is not a doco. It's an anthology about it. So actors. how much of the story and the intricacies in the script you can trust. I don't know.
Oh, so you're kind of saying it's similar to that genre of books and films, historical fiction, where they set it in something that, like, base it off real stuff and then.
Yes.
Okay.
Because how could you possibly write a whole series on it?
Yeah.
However, the Menendez brothers captured the world back in.
Was it the 80s or the early
90s? Trying to.
I know that we didn't know about them then.
No, like, but
it was
hang
way
on.
Too early for us.
All right. We watched a movie over and over and over again. I cannot recall what it was, but in it, they were waiting for a court case to happen. The trial was going to happen. And then as they, and it was the Menendez brothers. I tell you, it was, it 100% was them. And then, like, the power went off or something right as.
And they never got to find out.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I've got to think about that.
I feel like it was a bit more of a comedy, but I could be wrong. I don't know. It's a vague memory in the back of my head.
So because of that, I'm kind of getting the idea that it was similar to that OJ thing, right? Everybody
everyone
was invested.
Yes. Even more, people have really invested with it now, and since the Netflix series has come out, they have gotten reason for appeal. And
So it's almost kind of like Serial.
Yeah. So, spoiler, they did it. And spoiler, they went to jail. They've been there for about 3 decades. But I'm not sure what the appeal is, but it must be on sort of.
They've been there too long,
the
kind of
intensity
thing.
Of, you know, who is actually the monster in this process. Is it them? Is it what they were inflicted as just growing up in that family? I don't know, but that's more the real life stuff.
So you said it's an anthology, as in three? Did you say that or did I make that up?
It's an anthology series. You made that up. I didn't say that.
Okay. Have you finished the series?
I haven't.
Okay.
But there's 10
episodes. Oh, it's a lot. Okay, that is a lot. That's a real lot. See, I thought it was, it's not a doco, but I thought it was going to be one of those doco series where three is enough. But it's not.
No, it's a full one. And it's heavy. It is really, really heavy. However, I do have to say the actors are phenomenal. They're really good. The two guys who are playing the Menendez brothers are Javier Bardem and Cooper Koch.
Oh, yeah.
They're really good and they just assume these characters in such a way that you're never thinking them as acting. You're never thinking them as like, oh, yeah, I know what's happening here. I've already done this. You're like, you actually want to know more and get into their psyche even further, knowing that it's really, really
well
done.
So it's worth it. So not only is it a story that everybody knows or was fascinated with, it's also a story that has been told really well through the acting,
really
and the
well
story
and look,
telling
the whole production of it. Netflix has thrown a lot of money and it's beautifully filmed. It's really well done in terms of the historical nature and how it's all set design, production, costume. It's all done really, really well. Even the colors that they put into it, so when it is a bit more of a flashback, it just has this tiny little change to the colors.
Oh, so kind of like the Matrix, where they're in the Matrix, it's got a green tinge.
Yeah.
When they're out of the Matrix, it's got more of a more warmer orangey.
Yes. Yeah. And this is really minimal. You know how there are other ones where it's very much a sepia tone?
Yeah, sure, sure.
Yeah,
sure.
This is not that.
Oh, okay.
But beautifully shot.
Cool.
Heavy.
One episode a night's enough.
Yes. And if you do have a queasy stomach, the first episode is pretty gruesome.
Too much. Okay. I'm going to do a hard swerve here.
Okay.
Because you know how I said I was been watching something, but I'm not going to talk about it? I started watching Hallmark Christmas movies.
Fab.
And when you were like, the acting is just so good, like you can hardly tell.
It's not the same. Oh, I love
the stories. Like you don't know it.
No, it's not the same.
It's not the same.
But that's why you.
That's why you get into it.
Yeah.
Very cozy. But I did want to talk about, I've watched 3 episodes of the Australian version of The Office.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this show would be good if it was not attached to the name The Office.
Yeah, okay.
There's too much.
So if it was a bit more utopia.
It's right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's riding too much on that. You know, you have the people who love The American Office so much. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter who redoes it. it.
Yep.
They're going to hate it no matter what.
Yes.
That's why I'm kind of worried. Remember last week we were talking about there's an Office almost spin-off, like it is an Office universe. I'm worried about that even though it's set in America. But this one, I haven't watched a lot of The American Office. I've probably seen maybe 8 episodes mm-hmm. in total. But I remember how much I liked the UK Office, and that was one of the reasons why I didn't get into the American one.
Because you were steadfast UK.
So I'm exactly what the audience now is, right?
Yeah.
But I have rewatched the UK Office maybe a couple of months ago.
Mm.
And I think it would have been a bad idea if the Australian one had tried to do that same tone and everything.
Yes.
Because it was a slower tone.
It was a much slower tone.
They left the awkwardness there for way longer than was comfortable for the audience. This is a faster, quicker paced comedy. It's almost like a sitcom, which it is. It is.
Yeah.
So it's moved away from that original Ricky Gervais, Stephen Merchant.
So why are they still calling it The Office then? Like, how?
Because she is the awkward boss, and everybody else is. You can see the people that they're supposed to be. Okay. They've kind of shuffled them around a little bit, and your Dawns, your Tims, all that kind of things. Your Gareths. I can't remember the American version's names. It's not brilliant. It's fine.
Okay.
But because it's
a bit disappointing.
Because it has that Office name, you're expecting magic.
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what I'm expecting. I'm expecting them to only put that name to something that is at the same level.
It's a little bit funny. They had a Melbourne Cup episode where head office told them there was no way that they were allowed to celebrate Melbourne Cup, and that's exactly what they did.
Yeah.
And she got really super drunk as the boss the whole entire day, cried over people, stole someone's – like it was just – stole someone's cake. Just it was chaos. Just, it was, she was just a mess basically. Yeah. You know, it was fun, but so's Utopia and so's Fisk.
Mm.
And I want there to be more room for this kind of stuff. I want there to be more room for Australian comedy.
Yes, but maybe the Office situation has been done here because we do have Utopia and we do have Fisk.
And Utopia, you know? People go, oh, that's The Office. That's the Australian version of The Office. It is, but with a twist, right? Because Rob Sitch's character is the one that isn't crazy.
Yes.
And he's the boss. Everyone around him is crazy.
And that was the nice twist because it wasn't following the exact same formula.
Yeah. So, yeah, I've done a bit of watching, a little bit of different things.
Can I put the handbrake on?
Yeah.
You went from scary to
funny.
Funny. I'm going to go into the Australian version of The Block, which I say the Australian. I'm not actually sure there is any other version of it.
It may just be the most quintessential Australian thing on TV.
The Block.
Because you haven't always watched it, but you've watched many seasons of it. It's kind of just like your chill out.
It's a chill out thing. It only happens once a year. And it's like, okay, for this period of time, I'm just going to watch people renovate houses. And I was thinking about why it's endearing. It's because while different locations, different contestants every year, there are the same characters. You've got your Scotty Cam, Shelley.
He's been there since the beginning.
Yeah. Well, apart from Jamie Jury.
Oh, Jamie Jury.
He was the very, very beginning.
Whatever happened to him?
I don't know. Okay. I think he moved to somewhere.
Yeah, and the lady, she used to be on the Foxtel show.
Yeah.
And can't remember what it was.
She was also on like
– Selling Houses?
Yeah, and Cartoon. Oh, you mean the judge, Shayna Blaze.
Oh, who are you talking about?
Shelley Craft. She was on Saturday Disney.
Really?
Yes. Anyway, there's those people, Form and Dan, all of that. They bring back a lot of old contestants to do things. So there are faces and characters that you know, and I think that's the endearing part of it. It's the 20th year this year.
I was just getting at IMDb to have a look.
And they have moved down to Phillip Island, which is right down the bottom of Melbourne and quite isolated area.
Is that where the penguins are?
Yeah. Okay. So there's always sort of a different challenge in the logistics of it. So this one is quite different because if they need to go shopping, which they do every week to decorate their mm-hmm. rooms, style their rooms, sorry, to style it.
Get it right.
They have to go to Melbourne, which is a 2.5 hour drive.
Oh, gosh.
So there's all of that sort of stuff. I do have to say, though, the contestants this year are the least endearing people you've ever met.
Are they horrible?
Horrible.
Have the influencers infiltrated?
Oh, I don't. Maybe not so much. I think there's a few people who are really, really itching to have a spot as a reoccurring person on the show or have your own design show on the Lifestyle Network, you know, those sorts of things. But there are some people who are just a bit bitchy. So a couple left 5 weeks into it. And so, of course, a new couple had to come in. Sisters, young sisters, they're contestants like everybody else. They just immediately ostracized them for no reason other than they weren't the first two who were here. And it was like, why are Sounds you like punishing these young people who applied just like you did because the other two couldn't hack it? You're now cranky at fault. Them. It's their fault. And, oh, my gosh, they're doing well. I hate you even more. And so I think that's the hardest bit is that there's just no one endearing that you're like, oh, I want them to win. I mean, I want the sisters to
now
win
you
because
want them to win.
I like the underdog.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think they need to sort of do a bit better and
check themselves.
Siphoning out the those people. Or you know what? Put them in their place. Be like, that kind of behaviour is just not appropriate.
Guys, you are adults.
You're adults on television. Everyone's watching you.
Yeah. Wow.
There's okay. being the villain and then there's just being a bully. Yeah. You know?
It's a nice way of putting it. Okay. Well, we did watch a few, like that was a nice mix of
that
stuff.
That was a real mix.
We watched scary stuff and not so scary stuff. Do you want to go back into the scary stuff?
Okay. I'm a bit nervous.
Quiz time, Halloween stuff. That's literally all I've called it. Halloween okay. stuff.
I don't know how I'm going to do on this.
You'll be fine. How many seasons were there of Are You Afraid of the Dark?
7. Did I get that right?
You got that right.
Do you know, I actually think that's knowledge I've got stored in my brain. I don't think that was a guess.
I mean, I'm sure I've probably asked this before, but that was amazing.
I know.
I didn't edit that. That was... That was how quickly she answered that one. Amazing. This one might be a little tougher.
Okay.
What were Sabrina's aunt's names? One was kind of a bit Swiss, starting with an H. Not Heidi.
Hilda.
And the other one is the name of a Nintendo character starting with Zelda. Yeah. Caroline Ray and Beth Broderick.
Yeah, I'm Beth who's Caroline Broderick. Ray. I went to her show.
That's
in
right.
New York.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah. I knew there was a connection between the two of you.
Yeah.
Who are the stars of the two Hocus Pocus films? Same three people.
Bette Midler.
Yep.
Sarah Jessica Parker.
Yes. And you can just describe the other one. And what
Sister
she's
Act.
Been in. Sister Act, yeah. Kathy Najimy.
Yeah.
I always forget her last name.
Me too.
Who's the main star of the Scream films?
Neve Campbell or Neve. Nev?
I don't know. Neve? Nev.
N-E-V-E.
Neve, probably. Neve.
She's lovely. Neve.
I thought maybe you were going to say Drew Barrymore. I thought I was going to throw you.
Well, she was a star, wasn't she? But she only lasted a little bit.
Very little bit.
That was the part I really wanted to leave in.
I've finished with this film, Steph says, and walks out.
I'm done. She hasn't even been murdered yet.
I'm gone.
But I know where this is going. That popcorn won't last.
No. One's
eating that one.
Tipping it out and putting the bag on my head. Who's the star of the others?
Nicole Kidman.
Oh, my God, you're so good.
Mm-hmm. So good. That was.
See, I know a lot of people wouldn't say, they would say, that's not Halloween, but it is scary. It's about ghosts.
Yeah, totally scary. You tell me ghosts are not Halloween.
Exactly. Final question.
Mm-hmm.
Can I just point out that you've gotten everyone so far?
I know.
What colour hair is Beetlejuice's?
Orange. Green. It's green.
Green. It's kind of like, it's almost well, like, you know, those
orange.
Old,
oh, it's because his teeth are yucky.
Yeah. The old ladies used to have the blue yeah. rinse. It's kind of like that, but green.
Green rinse.
Green and rinse.
You mentioned it to be really crunchy.
Oh, yeah. Well, it would have been back in the day because it would have had a lot of hairspray in it.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of hairspray. Good work.
Thank you.
See, you are a Halloween aficionado.
I am. Aficionado.
You know everything
that
there
on
is
my CV. About- Ask me anything about scary movies.
And but the problem is most of the answers will be like, I don't know.
I'm not watching that. I've never seen that. I don't like scary movies.
Stephanie, thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. Boo-hoo.